In a landmark move, the International Criminal Court is opening an investigation into the alleged forced deportation of hundreds of thousands of Rohingya Muslims to Bangladesh and whether crimes against humanity were committed. UN investigators say a campaign of mass violence carried out by Myanmar's army in 2017 was so widespread and brutal that it was organised at the highest level of government. Sarah Dingle has recently come back from the world's biggest refugee camp, Cox's Bazar in Bangladesh, where many Rohingya now live. A short time ago, I asked her about the significance of the ICC's announcement.
Well, this is big news, Sam. After 2 years, or more than 2 years, of the Rohingya being in limbo in Bangladesh, the International Criminal Court says it will investigate whether they were forcibly deported from Myanmar and whether, in the event of that happening, there were any crimes against humanity, such as the persecution of the Rohingya. Now, this has come about through a rather creative means, I suppose you would say. The International Criminal Court actually doesn't have any jurisdiction over Myanmar. So what they're doing is they're bringing this investigation into the forced deportation of these people to Bangladesh, because Bangladesh has signed on to the International Criminal Court. It's been a pretty big week in accountability news. This follows two other moves, one by the Gambia, which brought a case in the International Court of Justice against Myanmar. And in Argentina, human rights groups have filed a lawsuit in a federal court naming Myanmar leader Aung San Suu Kyi and the commander-in-chief of the Myanmar military, naming them in this lawsuit for crimes against the Rohingya.
Now, you've just got back recently from a trip to the biggest refugee camp in the world, Cox's Bazar in Bangladesh. More than 600,000 Rohingya living there. Just what are the conditions like?
Well, this camp has exploded since the mass violence which forced these people to flee in August 2017. So there's been a mad scramble to suddenly create the services. You can imagine the biggest waste treatment facility ever constructed in a refugee settlement in the world is in this camp. All these people are crammed into just 13 square kilometres and they need water, food, shelter. As you can imagine, these people are also suffering intense trauma. Their villages were burned. Occasionally, people themselves were burned. They were attacked. They were injured. Many people were killed. And then they had to walk across the border into Bangladesh with basically nothing. And the nation hosting them, Bangladesh itself, is already a poor and extremely densely populated country.
How are the locals coping with that massive influx of people?
Tensions are rising between the Rohingya and the locals. And these flashpoints come, in all shapes and sizes. It can be over something as everyday as the free LPG given to the Rohingya refugees by NGOs so that they can cook their food. Some Bangladeshis see that as an unbelievable luxury, and they can't believe that refugees are getting this stuff for free when they don't. On the other hand, local media, Bangladeshi media, is starting to report things like the Rohingya are involved in drug smuggling. There is a drug called Yaba, which is made in Myanmar. It's an extremely potent combination of methamphetamine and caffeine, and the fear is that the Rohingya refugees are bringing this into the country. So all of these things are coalescing. At the same time, more than half the people in the biggest refugee camp in Bangladesh, and in fact the world, are children, and they are not allowed to attend any state schools. They are not allowed to learn the local language, Bangla, because the government wants to keep them separate from the host population. And counter-terrorism police in Dhaka told me that they fear this is essentially a situation ripe for radicalisation. If in a few years' time the children who become teenagers in this camp realise they can never go home and they are segregated and they haven't had a proper education, the situation could explode.
So it's, as you say, sounding unlikely that they'll be able to return to Myanmar. Are there any signs, though, that that may be a chance?
Well, Myanmar says they can return and it is safe. Human rights groups strongly dispute that. The UN itself says any return of the Rohingya has to be voluntary, safe and sustainable. And so far, they do not see those conditions existing for return.
Our reporter, Sarah Dingle. And you can listen to Sarah's background briefing investigation into what's next for the Rohingya on the ABC Listen app now, or tune in to the broadcast on Sunday morning at 8:05 on Radio National.